Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
So grab your Bible, open it to Ephesians chapter 6. This is our last weekend on the armor of God. We finish today. We begin a brand new series next weekend. But we've been talking about the armor of God. And we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. We found out there are seven pieces of the armor. And seven stands for the number of perfection. So God has perfectly equipped us for every storm we go through. And I know you're going through some kind of storm today. I can be relevant and identify with you because we're all going through stuff. But greater is He that is in you than the stuff you're going through today. Amen? So we recognize the greater one, and we're God conscious in Jesus' name. So we're going to finish today. We're going to look at the last piece we're going to talk about, and that is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But let's go to the text and let's look at it together. Ephesians 6 and verse 10 on the screens, guys. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So Paul's in prison. He's chained to a Roman soldier. He sees the armor that the Roman soldier has on. And God's giving him revelation for how God has equipped us through the Word. We found out that the armor is actually a metaphor or symbolic. The armor is the Word of God. The armor is Bible knowledge properly applied to your problem. Bible knowledge properly applied to your problem. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And why I've spent all these weeks on this, because I want you to get stronger than you are. I want to get stronger than I am. We need it for the times we're living in. If you're weak, you're not going to make it as a Christian. You're going to compromise and be a casual Christian in the days that we're in. And at Church on the Rock, we are not casual. We're not ordinary. We're not average believers. Thank you. We are above average at Church on the Rock. Amen. We're not normal. We're not average Christians. We want all we can get from God. So finally, my brethren and sister, be strong in the Lord. The power of His might. Everyone say, His might.
His might.
What does that tell us? My might is not enough. My might is not enough to keep my family together, my head together, my life together. I don't have enough in me at this time. And what's coming towards us, we need someone stronger than us. We need His might. So He said, be strong. Okay, Paul, you told us to be strong, but then how are we gonna do that? Scripture interprets Scripture. Now, in verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God. So he says, get strong, and now he's going to tell us how to get strong. He gives us a commandment, it's not an option, that we need to be intentional right now as Christians to get strong. Whatever you have to do, get spiritually healthy. Get spiritually healthy. So he says, get strong, and then he tells us how to do that by putting on the armor of God. That's how we get strong. Put on. So notice, we have to do it. God's not going to do it for us. If it's going to be, it's up to me. It's up to you. We can't be victims. We have to be victors and take responsibility for our life. Can't live in denial and have recovery. Won't happen. So put on the whole armor of God, and you will be able to stand against the methods, the schemes, and strategies of the devil. You do know that the devil has a strategy and a plan to take you out today, right? He has an organization. He has strategies. He has planning meetings. Demons, evil spirits, know our weaknesses, and they know our strengths. Okay? They know our generation before us. They know what's been passed on down, generational curses, and they know where to tempt us and try us. And they're out to steal, kill, and destroy. And as you're at the end of the age, have you noticed evil's getting more evil? Yeah. So you're going to see more demonic activity in people. You're going to see more demonized people than you've ever seen in your lifetime. Because at the end of the age, the Bible says the devil's going to wage war to wear out the saints. Okay? So evil's going to get evil. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Sin will abound. Evil's getting more evil. What used to be right is now wrong. What used to be wrong is now right. It's only going to get worse in the world. Okay? Because of the time that we live in. So he said, you need to put on the armor of God. It will equip you and make you strong so that whatever the devil has planned against you, you can withstand it, resist it, and overcome it. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. People are not our problem. People are not our problem. He gives us four levels of the kingdom of darkness. Satan is highly organized. Things don't just happen. I do not believe in luck. I believe in destiny. I believe that God has a destiny for you and me, and the devil has destruction for you and me. Verse 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, and you will, thank you, Lord, you'll be able to withstand on the evil day. Having done all, stand, resist. All right, verse 14, stand therefore, and now he begins to list the seven pieces of the armor of God. Stand, therefore, having your loins in the Bible are always a reference to your emotions. They're always a reference to your emotions. Aren't you glad God cares about our emotions today? And God does care about how you feel today and what you're going through today. Stand, therefore, have your loins girt about with the belt of truth, have on the breastplate of righteousness, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the shoes of the gospel of peace, verse 16, above all, we looked at this last week, take the shield of faith, and that shield is the size of a door, above all, put in front, wherewith you will be able to quench. Remember that they would oil it daily. They'd rub the Roman soldier would put oil on the shield daily, right, and rub it in. Oil's a type of the Holy Spirit. So what do we learn from that? You need to be shora maskito malendoka. Is he speaking in French? No, I'm speaking in the Holy Ghost. You need to be full of the Holy Spirit every day before you go into battle. And then what else did they do before they went into battle? They soaked it in water because the enemy would shoot fiery darts. They dumped in oil, lit on fire, and would shoot at them, and the water would quench it. What is water a type of in the Bible? The Bible. Water is a type of the Word. What do we learn? Be filled with the Spirit this morning before you left your house and be full of the Word, because you're going to have battles today. Even on Sunday, it's not a rest day for the devil. How many of you know that? Okay? But you will be able to. Thank you, Lord. If I'm full of the Spirit, I'm full of the Word, you're more than a conqueror. You will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Fiery darts are thoughts, lies, and suggestions. Thoughts, lies, and suggestions. Fiery darts are thoughts, lies, and suggestions. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. And here's where we want to land today. The last piece we're going to talk about. We're not going to talk about the spear of prayer because we're going to do that in our series on small groups. Pray first. So we end today on the sixth piece, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is, Scripture interprets Scripture. What is the sword of the Spirit? It is the Word of God. The sword is the Word of God. I love it. Amen. You know, I don't know if you remember some of you folks that were serving the Lord and you were around in the 80s and the 90s. Do y'all remember Bible covers? Man, I should put this on eBay and sell this thing. I mean, that's when, and I want to encourage you to go back to this. I really do. You'll get more, you'll grow more spiritually. It's proven scientifically. You'll get more from that than your computer. I hope you know that. Now, I'm not down on anybody who does the other, but why can't you do both? Okay? So, anyway, back in the olden days, we had what we called Bible covers. And you actually put your Bible inside the cover, and you'd have your notepad. Y'all remember that? And you have your pen and your yellow marker. Oh, man, I'm feeling homesick. And y'all remember those days? Those were awesome. But I couldn't find one. But, you know, it was really cool. If you had one that had a sword on it, you were in high cotton. I mean, you were flying high. If you had one with a sword on it, because this was our sword, I can even remember, even in this church over there across the street, I would say, you know, get your sword out. Open up the word. Get your sword out. Let's get into it. And those covers that had the sword, I couldn't find one, but I used to have a whole bunch. I thought they were so cool, right? And so what was that? Because we would say, well, the Bible is the sword, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Yeah, cool, yeah. But you know what? We had it all wrong, really, kind of, sort of. Looks cool, awesome. But the word there in this verse is not logos. What's logos? The Greek word for Bible or word, there's two. Logos and rhema. Now, the whole Bible, the general Bible, is the logos. It's not the sword of the Spirit, actually. The sword of the Spirit is the rhema of God. And the rhema is a specific word that the Spirit ignited in your spirit. It was a specific scripture that when you were reading the general Bible, which is logos, which is not the sword of the Spirit, when you're reading the Bible, you ever had it and a scripture just jumped off the page and illuminated on the inside? What was that? The sword of the Spirit for the battle you were in. We call it a right now word. A right now word. Does that make sense? A right now word. So you see that which is the word of God, the word for word there is not logos, not the whole Bible. It's rhema. And rhema means a specific one verse pulled out of the logos that fits your situation you're in at that particular time. Are y'all with me? So it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word or rhema of God. So I need to know more than just the general Bible when I'm in battle. I need to have a rhema or a right now word to have the sword, right? But I can't get a rhema without being in my one-year Bible. You knew I was going to do that, didn't you? Okay, our one-year Bible, all right? So, but the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, notice capital S on Spirit. When you see that in the Bible, it's not a reference to our human spirit. It's a reference to the Holy Spirit. Am I right? So here's, let's read it this way. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word the Spirit enlightened to you. The Spirit and the Word work together for a rhema. The Spirit and the Word working together is the sword of the Spirit. Oh, I hope you're getting this. See, people who aren't born again don't like this book, don't read this book, and don't understand this book. You got to be born again with the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to begin to like it, read it, and understand it. Okay? But the sword, that weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit, it's not the whole general Bible. It's a specific scripture as you read the Bible that came alive to you at that moment. That's the sword that the Spirit enlightened that verse to you that day. Are you with me, family? Okay, so now let's go. Guys, we want to go to, I think, whatever the next scripture is. Let's see what it is. Okay, we want to go forward. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick. So this is a really powerful book, isn't it? We're pro-Bible at Church on the Rock. We're not throwing it away. We're pro-life. We're pro-family. We're pro-word. We're pro-Bible here at this church, okay? Never changed. Been that way from day one. For the word of God, you heard Michael Bethany 2 weeks ago stand up and say, you know, he grew up watching our principles of life. He said, I'm so glad this church has never changed its message in 39 years. How many churches do you know that have? For the word of God is quick. It's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is quick, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Notice that there's a difference between spirit and soul. You know, people who aren't Christians, who don't know the word, they think they're both one thing. You know, you'll hear them even talk about, they're referring to their spirit and they say soul. And I know immediately they don't know the Bible, because there's a difference between your spirit and your soul. Your spirit is the real you, right? But your soul is your emotions. It's your mind, right? It's your thought life. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of your soul and your spirit and of the joints and marrow, your body, and this is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What I want to extract is two-edged sword. That word two-edged there, you can look it up in the Greek. Get a Greek dictionary and look up the word two-edged. And you know what it is? Two mouths. Two mouths. M-O-U-T-H. Mouth. Two mouths. Pastor, it's Sunday morning. It's summer. We're ending vacations. We're worn out. We're tired. We're hot. Humidity. Come on, move on. We don't get it. Help us out. Okay. So what does it mean? That the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And we're looking at the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're looking at words from the Bible. The Spirit quickens to you. That's your weapon. Okay. All right. So two mouths, what does that mean? It means this. You got to find out what God said with his mouth. And then you got to put what God said in your mouth. And then when you speak it, it's more powerful than a two-edged sword. Piercing, winning, quickening. Y'all with me? So the two-edged sword is one side of the sword that's sharp is what God said. That's the Bible. The other side of the sword is what you say coming out of your mouth. So the sword of the Spirit is actually your confession of God's word in your battle. But any confession won't work. It has to be a confession that has been led by the Spirit. You know, we'll hear people, you know, we get in a battle. We've all done it. We get in a battle, and we'll just start throwing out scriptures. And that's good, but that won't win the battle. You got to throw out a scripture that the Spirit enlightened and quickened to you. The Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. It's when the Holy Spirit, your spirit led. You don't just start saying things when you're in a battle over your finances, your family, your health, your career, your future. You start, God, I need a word from you. So you get in the one-year Bible and you start reading it. And as you're reading it, all of a sudden the Spirit gives you and enlightens you a word from it. And that word will win the battle you're in. It's a two-edged, two-mouthed sword. God said it, and then you say what God said for you to say in that situation. Can we have a praise break on that? Okay. See how important our words are? I watched all week Kenneth Copeland's meeting in Fort Worth, and the whole theme was your mouth. The whole theme all week long was, they said, because Christians are so negative right now because of the pandemic and all that's going on and all they came out of, they're so negative. Brother Copeland said, we're going to teach all week long on the confession of your tongue. And it all went back to that theme all week long, because he said, Christians need to know how to talk now more than ever because they're negative, cynical, sarcastic, defeated. Interesting, isn't it? So look at this, Revelation 1:16. And he, this is Jesus, he's coming back, by the way. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth, Jesus, out of his mouth went a sharp. How's he win his battles? With a two-edged sword. How does Jesus win his battles? With a two-edged sword. How are you going to win your battle today? With a Matthew 4, the devil comes to tempt Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He quotes scripture from Deuteronomy. He said what God said. And the Holy Spirit led him, the Bible says. And the Holy Spirit quickened to him the right scripture that he was to confess for that day. And that gave him the victory for the battle that he was in. If the sword of the Spirit is a two-edged sword, and then Jesus wins battles with a two-edged sword in his mouth, out of his mouth, out of his mouth. How do you win battles? With your mouth. How do you get saved? With your mouth. How do you get delivered? With your mouth. How do you change your life? With your mouth. When I was 11 years old and I came to the front of the Little Assembly of God Church with 100 members, and I went down to the front, and what did I do? When the pastor gave the altar call, I believed in my heart, and I said with my whole world changed with my mouth. Two-edged sword in his mouth. So how does Jesus win his battles? With a two-edged sword. What's a two-edged sword? It's a two-mouth sword. It's a double edge. What is that? It's what God says, and then you say what he said. But you have to say what the Spirit tells you to say that he said. You have to say what the Spirit told you to say what he said. You can't just throw out scriptures out of his mouth. Am I helping anybody today? Boy, I'm sweating up a storm up here. I hope I'm helping somebody. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Oh, we're talking about the sword of the Spirit, a two-edged sword. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if you'll receive my words and hide my commandments within thee, hide my commandments within me. So what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be reading our one-year Bible, and we put the word in us so that when we need it, the Holy Spirit has something to tell us. Sure do love y'all. Praise the Lord. All right. Deuteronomy 8:3. And he humbled them, and he suffered them. Talking about the 40 days and the 40 years in the wilderness. And he humbled them, and he suffered them to hunger, and he fed them with manna, which they didn't know, neither did their fathers know, that he might make them know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth. Wow, what came out of his mouth has to come out of your mouth. But it has to be the right thing he said, for the right word for you, for the storm you're in. That's the sword that the Spirit gives you. Oh, I like it. Every word. Now, that word there for word is not the general Bible. It's a specific scripture from the Bible that you got reading your one-year Bible. So when I'm in trouble, if I'm not in my Bible, and I just try to quote some scriptures, no wonder I don't win the battle. Because that won't work. I have to have a rhema, or I have the sword of the Spirit to win the battle. I can't get a rhema without getting in the general. It's by getting in the general. Y'all know that. You read your Bible. You ever read your devotional in the morning, and you found out you needed it later that afternoon? Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Praise the Lord. All right? So, Joshua 1:8. So how does this all work? This book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth. It simply means don't stop saying it, speaking it, the word of God. So victory starts in our mouth. All change starts in your mouth. Deliverance starts in your mouth. Breakthrough starts in your mouth. What are we saying? What the world is saying right now? Or backslidden Christians? Or cold, carnal Christians? No. Or lukewarm Christians? No. You and I are not average. We're not lukewarm. Amen. We're on fire. We're hungry. We're after God. We're God chasers, right? So we're going to put the word in our mouth. When you put the word that God gave you, that he said for you in the storm you're in, and it comes out of your mouth, it's a two-edged, two-mouth sword. You're saying what God said, but how can you know what God said if you're not in your one-year Bible? Is your pastor helping you? Because I really want, my job description is to equip you spiritually. John 14:26. Ooh, this is a good one right here. Watch how this all flows together. But the Comforter, he's here today. That's the Holy Spirit. Seven names right there for the Holy Spirit. Seven names. Comforter, he's the Comforter. He's the Counselor. He's our Helper. He's our Intercessor. He's our Advocate. You heard me pray this in our praise time. He's our Advocate. He's our Strengthener. He's our Standby. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. Watch this, watch this, watch this. He will teach you all things. Whoa, don't miss it, 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 don't miss it. He'll cause to you to recall. He'll remind you and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Well, if you don't know what he told us, that's called the Bible, then the Holy Spirit has nothing to remind you of in warfare. So you haven't put on the sixth piece of the sword of the Spirit. Am I helping anybody today? The Holy Spirit can't remind me, can't bring to my recall what I don't know. Right? So that's why we read the general Bible to find out what God said with his mouth. So that when you're up against the wall and you don't know what to do, and you're asking God for wisdom, you ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, then the Holy Spirit quickens a scripture that you know, that you've read, that you've studied, and it's the right scripture. It's a rhema. It's the right scripture that will move the mountain and cast it into the sea. It's not just any scripture. Just any scripture won't work. It has to be a rhema. Pastor, really? Faith comes by and hearing the word for word is rhema. The word for faith doesn't come just by reading it. Faith comes when I read it and it's enlightened to me and I understand it. Then faith comes. Amen. So notice that I need, it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, capital S, Holy Spirit. So here we see the work of the Holy Spirit. What happens is we always should ask him, Holy Spirit, give me a word for my health. Give me a word for my home. Give me a word for my teenager. Give me a word for my toddler. Give me a word for my neighbor. Holy Spirit, help me. And then what he'll do is he'll bring something up to you that you've already read, heard God say out of his mouth. Then you mouth it. You ever heard this? You're sure mouthy? We are with the Word of God. Amen, everybody? Can we have a praise break? All right? And he will cause you to recall. You know, it's like when I was in college and asked the Holy Spirit to help me with a test. Guess what? If I hadn't studied, I wasn't hearing anything. How can he bring up something I don't even know, haven't read, haven't studied? So, and he will cause to you recall, he'll remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I've already told you, everything I've already said. Good stuff, right? Next verse, guys. Go to the next verse. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out, because we'll never figure it out. Verse 6, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. And what will he do? He'll direct your path. We should be acknowledging the Holy Spirit in all of our battles, asking him what we should be saying, confessing, affirming, declaring. Because it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Word and Spirit go together. The Holy Spirit will never tell you to do something that's not in the Word. The Holy Spirit will never tell you to do something that doesn't align with the Word. If somebody's come with something new, cry wolf, wolf. Amen? Am I helping anybody? Okay, as the team comes out. Takeaways, here's our takeaway today. Number one, find out what God has said. What's that? Bible study. Do you know the Bible actually says we're to study the Bible? Right? In Timothy, it says study, not just read, but study to show yourself approved. That's why I'd go to a word church, a faith church, a Bible teaching church, because you want to study the Bible. You want to know what it says. You want to know what God said out of his mouth through men of old by the Holy Spirit. So then he can give you the right word for your battle, and then you put it in your mouth, right? And you speak it, and then you win the battle. Because that's the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. Number two, start saying that and only that. Start saying that. Find out what God has said. And when the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, start saying that and that only in your battle. Number three, make a habit of memorization. I know we don't like to hear this, but make a habit. That's Joshua 1:8, right? Meditate in the Word day and night, night and day. Meditation is memorization. Make a habit of memorizing Scripture. That way, when you need it, you have it. You put it in you when you don't need it. But when you do need it, The Holy Spirit will quicken it to you. It's not logos, it's rhema. And it has to be rhema to be the sword of the Spirit. Y'all remember our Bible cover illustration, right? All right, so make a habit of memorization. Start putting scripture that you want to memorize. Maybe you want to take one per week. Marilyn Hickey is huge on this. She memorizes chapters. She's 91. So if she can do it, you can do it. I can do it. Let's pray for each other. Amen? So start putting scriptures around your house, in your car, in your garage, in your wherever you're at, and say, I'm going to memorize this one verse this week. And then take one for the whole month. Just start. Number four, be led by the Holy Spirit as to what and when to say. Be led, acknowledge Him. Holy Spirit, you know, I need to say the right scriptures over this battle I'm in. Not just throw out a bunch that I know, but I want the right one for this battle. I want the one that will pierce, quicken, is powerful, a two-edged, two-mouth. How does Jesus win His battles? With His mouth. And you know, I've taught this for 40 years. But then I go out into the lobby of another church. And I hear people talking negative, like the world, doubt, fear, unbelief. I'm thinking, goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Chuck Berry, praise God. So be led by the Holy Spirit, or wasn't Chuck Berry's another guy, Jerry Lee Lewis. Be led, Jimmy Swaggart's cousin. Be led by the Holy Spirit as to what and when you say it. Those are simple, but they're very practical. And you know what? They'll keep me busy till Jesus comes back. How about y'all? I like practical stuff. Amen? You get anything? Give the Lord a good praise, would you? Amen, amen, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.